In the name of our one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. This morning's parable, for me, it brings up two very different responses at the same time. I am initially struck, and always have been, by the beauty of this parable, the beauty of this expansive and inclusive invitation to a wedding feast. And then I wince multiple times at the sheer violence of this parable. I'm glad that it's not Children's Sunday, even in a virtual way. The gratuitous, grotesque, and seemingly unnecessary violence, it poses a problem. And in fact, this same parable is also in the Gospel of Luke, yet Luke adds none of this. It's a parable about a wedding banquet, inclusive and expansive as it is, while Luke adds none of the gore that Matthew does. There have been, of course, then many different ways to try to understand why Matthew includes it. I mean, one way could be, though it doesn't totally solve the problem, I don't think it's a problem that can be solved, is that we remember not everything in a parable necessarily means something. And there can be many ways to interpret the same parable. And we know that gospel writers, those who write scripture, they certainly are inspired by the Spirit, and yet they do bring themselves into what they write. And so I have come to the opinion myself that what we read in Matthew, it can be and maybe should be understood in the light of the context within which the parable was written. It was like a generation about, give or take, after Jesus had died and been resurrected and ascended. And the community of Matthew, the community that this gospel is written towards, written to address, written for in a sense, is writing this gospel as a group of Jews still. Jews who are following Jesus, who are having an at times bitter and quite aggressive intergroup quarrel, a quarrel with other Jewish communities, ones who do not follow Jesus. So there's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of hot emotions. And then the wider context within which this is being played out is even more aggressive. Rome, the Empire of Rome, has destroyed the Jewish temple and is actively persecuting people. This is Matthew's context. So violence is all around them. Conflict. And this very well might be why Jesus' parable, as told in Matthew, takes on this harsh, exaggerated tone. A tone that shouldn't be ignored, but we can kind of see how maybe the community of Matthew is projecting their own context and environment onto the parable. And if we look at the parable the way Luke does, then we see even more clearly that the story really centers around the kingdom or reign of God, as this beautiful wedding celebration, what would have been back then a lavish, multiple day party of eating, drinking, dancing, laughing. And the focal point of this lavish banquet is on those who were the least likely to be invited, and yet they were included and embraced. Not only are they included, they are searched for, they were sought after, beckoned to come to the feast. Matthew makes a point of letting us know, you're good, come. You're bad, come. You're anywhere in between. It does not matter. Jesus says that the needy, the vulnerable, those far off, those considered to be saintly or sinful, all are invited to the wedding party, beckoned to participate in the kingdom of God. All are gathered up, filling the banquet hall, invited to partake, to contribute, to party. We see once again that God's generosity is deep indeed. God's embrace is wide. And God beckons us continually, repeatedly, in so many ways, to accept this generosity, to respond to the invitation, to take part in this banquet, in the reign of God here on earth. We do have choices. We can refuse God's hospitality. We see this in the parable. A whole group who feel that they are too important or have better things to do, or they don't have the time, and so forth. We can take God's abundance lightly as well, or we decide to not truly involve ourselves in the feast. So we're kind of paying it lip service. We see this in the parable as well. We have the guest who attends and yet refuses to really be a part of it. God's abundance and grace are freely given. We do not earn it. God's abundance and grace are around us, within us, in visible ways and in ways that we might not even recognize. Like that wedding feast attended by people of every place and category imaginable. God's grace and goodness are everywhere for all of us. I hope that we can see ourselves in this parable. This would be my hope, my prayer, that we could see ourselves in those who are invited to the table, who are sought after, who are beckoned. Because we are sought after. And that we would continually then accept, truly accept, God's invitation to the banquet. I'd say I hope as well, and I pray that we can also see ourselves in those who serve at the table. That our participation in the reign of God, it is true and it's deep and it's active. So that not only are we being nourished, but God is using us. That we are open to God using us to nourish our community. Both here at Grace Church, but well outside of these walls. Because we embody God's generosity right here. With that wide embrace, those gifts God has given, we are invited to offer them back to God and God's people. To serve, not only to be served. I mean, this is stewardship, which the pledge campaign is part of the stewardship season, but really the stewardship season is all year because we're always offering ourselves back to God and God's people, offering what is God's back to God for the good of us all. I hope we can see ourselves in somebody else in this parable as well. In those who go out. That we can see ourselves in those who go out to let others know of the invitation. Because God does send us out, like those messengers in the gospel, into the streets to invite others to partake as well. We take part in God's abundance, really, not only by receiving it, but by then sharing it more fully. We're invited not just to partake in the feast, but to extend the invitation. And that we might be further encouraged then to invite all to God's banquet. This is summed up in a word that can be a little scary for some of us, or a little off-putting for some of us as well, depending on how our relationship to it. But this is evangelism, inviting others to the banquet, going out, inviting not only people into a physical space. Of course, that's not possible right now. It could be inviting others to partake in our virtual worship, but it's not only that, certainly not. It's not really cold calling and going around knocking on doors. Evangelism basically is just living out with our own lives, unabashedly, the goodness of God. It could simply be engaging in conversation with someone we haven't met and not maybe even saying anything about God at all, but just listening to people's stories. And then certainly it is maybe about listening to people's stories and seeing where God is in the midst of other people's lives, reflecting on where God is in the midst of our own lives, what the needs are. Evangelism really is about connection, about building relationships, and about doing what we do, unashamed that we are doing such from a faith basis, because our faith implores us. I mean, evangelism, really, in that case, it could be going to a protest against racial injustice and letting people know, and see even a small way, that I'm here because my faith compels me to do so. With our own lives, inviting others to the table. That we would this morning be encouraged to accept God's invitation to the banquet, to serve and not only be served, and to go out into the streets, real and proverbial, to invite others in. Amen.